John chapter number 31. Chapter number 1, verse number 30. Go to verse number 35. Yeah, go to John 31 tonight. If you can't find it, just wait on me. John chapter number 1 and verse number 35. You there with me tonight? Say amen. All right, let's read starting in verse number 35. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for, Lord, the service this morning already, the song service tonight. Lord, everything you've done in our hearts, we pray you'd continue to work. Lord, I pray you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me tonight to preach what thus saith the Lord. When it's all said and done, I want to be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter number 1 here, we have recorded the ministry of John the Baptist. What a wonderful picture we have of the kind of ministry and testimony every one of us ought to have. A ministry that points people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's all about, friend. These disciples had been following John the Baptist, but John was not interested in them following him. He's interested in pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why John makes the statement, "He must increase," he says, "and I must decrease." Would to God more ministries would have that philosophy. Would to God more preachers and more teachers and Sunday school workers and anybody involved in ministry would have that kind of philosophy and would hold to that truth. There are too many preachers and teachers and different workers that want to get the glory and want to get a seek a following and get folks following them when we need to be pointing people to Jesus Christ that they'd follow the Savior. Amen? Well, John stops these disciples in their tracks and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." And immediately the two disciples stop and they begin to follow the Lord Jesus. Knowing that these disciples were following him, Jesus turned and he asked the question. It's a very soul-searching question. It's a question that every single person here tonight ought to ask themselves. He says to them in verse number 38, "What seek ye?" In other words, he asked the question, "What are you searching for? What are you looking for?" Can I tell you something? In the world in which we live, everyone is searching for something. Everybody, they're looking for something. They're searching for something or someone. In 1996, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, you've probably heard those names before, two graduate students at Stanford University, they was working on a research project in their class. That research project eventually made them multimillionaires. It was an internet technology icon, and it was something that anybody and everybody could use. They come up with a little new search engine by the name of Google. You can go on the internet and you can simply type in a word or a phrase and Google will give you a list of websites that match that word or match that phrase, match what you typed in. I wonder tonight if I were to ask you the question, what is it that you would type in that search bar? Maybe some people here tonight and you would type in romance. Maybe you're looking for love. Maybe somebody tonight's here and they would type in the word finance. Maybe they're looking for some money and there's more, you know, there's not enough money left at the end of the month. There's a whole lot more month than money, and so maybe it's finance. Some, maybe it's a second chance. Maybe you faltered and you failed and not lived up to the person that Christ would want you to be, and maybe it's a second chance. Jesus turns to these men, and he says to these men who had begin following him, "What seek ye?" I begin to think about that and wonder, why is it that Jesus asked these two disciples this question? I believe there are several things I want to notice tonight. Number one, he wanted them to examine their intentions. Jesus wanted them to examine their intentions. Many times throughout the scriptures and throughout the Word of God, Jesus challenged his disciples to test their own motives. You find that throughout the Word of God. He asked those who had been following John the Baptist, you think about it, he said to them, "What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see?" And finally said, "A prophet, yea, and I say more than a prophet." Jesus, other words, was saying to them, "What were you looking for when you went out in that wilderness?" He didn't ask, "What seek ye?" because he wanted to know what they were looking for. Understand, Jesus already knew. And by the way, tonight, child of God, he already knows what you're looking for. And even if you're not a child of God, he still knows what you're looking for. He already knew what they were looking for. He didn't ask so he would know. But Jesus asked the question, "What seek ye?" so that they would take an honest look at their motive and ask themselves the question, "What am I searching for?" We need to understand in that day there was always a crowd following the Lord Jesus. That's evident throughout Scripture. Many people followed him for many different things. Some people followed him because of the miracles and they wanted to see another miracle. They were looking for another miracle. Some followed because of some physical problem and they wanted to be cured. They seen how Jesus had healed so many and they followed because they wanted to be cured. Some people followed because they were hungry and they wanted to be fed. Some people no doubt followed the Lord Jesus because of his teaching. No man spake like this man. And some followed just because everyone else was following. Who knows that that'll always get some people to follow. And they were, but all those who were following Jesus were searching for something. No doubt many believe they were seeking Jesus, but in reality, watch this, they were seeking something from the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say to you tonight, in my life, especially a few years there of my teenage years, I tried several different things looking for something, having made a profession at the age of 7 years old, just a young boy, still I found myself looking for something, got pulled back out into the world and away from church and those things, and I was looking for excitement, I was looking for happiness, I was looking for contentment in my life. A teenage boy whose father had walked out and whose family had been uprooted, I was looking for love, I was looking for companionship, I was looking for fellowship. But praise God, one day I walked into an old-fashioned independent Baptist church and there's a preacher there that told me God loved me, and there's a preacher there that told me God would accept me, and there's a preacher there that told me that God wanted me and would do something with my life. And can I say to you tonight, I found what I was looking for. And when you find what you're looking for, you don't have to search anymore. He said, "What seek ye?" I'm satisfied with what I found. I wonder tonight, what seek ye? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 22, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You see, the Jews are seeking a sign. They're seeking some miracle. The Messiah would perform miracles, and of course he's done that, but they're still seeking a sign. They're seeking some miracle. Matthew chapter 12 says this, Jesus said, "An evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign." The Jews seek after a sign. The Greeks seek wisdom. They want to put God in a test tube and try and figure him out. They use science, and that's why we got evolution, and that's why we got they try to explain everything away by the earth being billions and billions of years old. And so the Greeks seek after wisdom and try to use science. They're both looking for the wrong thing. Paul goes on to say, by the way, he says the Jews seek a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ, amen? Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But what are you searching for? Are those that truly seek after Jesus foolish to you? Are you looking for something supernatural, some supernatural sign or some experience in your life? By the way, so many people struggle with the will of God and what's God's will for my life, and I'm looking for something to fall out and hit me on the head from heaven or something. Listen, God's revealed to you His full will for your life in His Word. Can I say that to you tonight? It's right here. If you'll get in His Word and you'll get down there in that prayer closet, you'll find the will of God for your life. A lot of people know the will of God, but instead of accepting the will of God, they just keep seeking the will of God. The Bible says, watch this, seek the Lord while he may be found. What seek ye? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Why are you at church tonight? What's your motivation for being here? I mean, you should be honest. Is it for a program? Is it for a position? Some people, listen, they're coming for some position. I've known people throughout the years who they come to church if they've got some kind of gig or some kind of class to teach or some kind of other ministry to be involved in. But if they don't have that, they'll come to church. Well, they don't teach very long here. They don't do have ministry very long here because that's not what it's about, right? It's all about the Lord, and so we need faithfulness. But I'm simply saying some people come for a program, some come for a position, some come for some other person just to see somebody and have the fellowship. Thank God I like all of those things, but listen, the fact of the matter is he needs to be the object of our motivation. It ought to be we came to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wanted them to follow him for him. He wanted them to follow him because of a deep need for him. Do you remember the question that Jesus asked Peter later on? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Other words, Simon, what's the most important thing in your life? What's the most important thing to you? In other words, he wants to be our motivation. Jesus wants to be our main thing. Can I tell you, the Bible still says that we're to love the Lord thy God with some of our heart. And is that what it says? Oh, no, friend. With all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. He wants to be our motivation. Jesus knows if we do not have the right motivation, then we'll not have it enough determination to stay the course. We won't have, listen, if we're coming for somebody else, they're going to disappoint us. If we're coming for a program, it's going to end. If we're coming for anything else, it's not going to last. Jesus knew we'd be disappointed by any of those things. Oh, but can I tell you, friend, if he's the reason we're coming, if he's the reason we're in the fight, if he's the reason we're living the Christian life, we'll never stop. You know why? Because he never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Our motivation needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We're following him. Not for a possession, not for some position, but for his person, then we'll never stop. What seek ye? We're told very clearly what we're to seek in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I wonder tonight, why are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you just following the crowd? Are you just looking for fire insurance? Is something wrong in your life physically? Is something wrong in your life financially? Is something wrong in your life emotionally? Listen, I'm glad, thank God, he's all of those things and he can fix all of those problems, but it ought not be the reason we're following just when something's wrong or just when we have a hard time or just when things aren't working out in our life. Oh no, friend, he's so much more than that. But we all are following because we love him and we want to serve him. What are you searching for? What's your motivation tonight for following the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you see, he wants it to be him. Jesus wants it to be him. I think sometimes when we examine our intentions, if we'll be honest, sometimes we find that our motivation and the thing that's compelling us to follow him, the thing that's compelling us to come to church, the thing that's compelling us to live the Christian life, the thing that's compelling us to outwardly, quote, live the way we ought to live is not always the love that we have for him inwardly. It's not that we want a closer walk with him inwardly, but sometimes it's for some benefit. That's what he meant when he makes the statement in Matthew 15:8. He says, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in verse number 9, he goes on and says, but in vain they do worship me. Can I say to you tonight, if our motivation is anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, our worship's vain. He said, in vain they do worship me. If we're seeking him for anything else, if we have a desire for anything else but for him, then we're doing it. It's all in vain. Number one, he asked the question, what seek ye? He wanted to examine their intentions. Notice the second thing. I like this. This is shouting ground. Number two, He exposed their interest. He exposed their interest. Look with me at verse number 38. He asked them the question, "What seek ye?" Look at verse 38. And the two says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following him, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which be interpreted, "Master." What's this question? "Where dwellest thou?" Now the disciples are asking a question now. He asked them the question, "What seek ye?" He begins to talk with them. He begins to drum up a conversation with them. Not only did he examine their intentions, but watch this. By that question, he exposed their interest. They said, watch this, "Where dwellest thou?" You know what that means? They wanted to know where he lived. They wanted to know where he stayed. They wanted to know something about his life. Oh, listen, they wanted to go to his home. They didn't invite Jesus back to their home. It was not so much, watch this, that they wanted him to be a part of their life. It's that they wanted to be a part of his life. Can I say something to you tonight? What's wrong with 21st century Christianity is we want God to get in on what we're doing. We want God to just jump aboard on anything and everything we feel like we want to do in our life instead of saying, "Oh God, what way are you going? Where are you staying? Where do you dwell? Where do you live? What do you want me to do with my life?" Oh yes, they said, "Where dwellest thou?" God help us to come to the point in our Christian lives where we simply want to be wherever he is. Where we simply want to do whatever he wants us to do. How different our prayers would be if we wanted to go with him rather than to get him to go with us. Well, if we would ever come to that place where we want to be with him, where we want to follow him, oh, where we want to all the time just behold and abide with him. No longer would we say, "Lord, I want to do this," but instead we'd say, like the preacher talked about this morning, "What would you have me to do? Where dwellest thou?" Man, what a question. Carter says sometimes, pretty much any time I'm trying to leave, and Emily will do it too sometimes, but they'll say, "Dad, where are you going?" "Dad, I want to go where you're going." "You going to church?" He'll say, "I don't go to church." "Dad, I don't go to church." Other, "Dad, where are you going?" "I want to go where you're at." You know what that does for me? Listen to me tonight. I'm going to help somebody. Woo! Hey, do you have any idea what that does for the lovely Son of God when you and I are not saying, "Oh Lord, would you get in on my business? Lord, would you get in my family? Lord, would you get in the direction we're going? Lord, would you come and bless my home? Lord, would you come and meet my need?" Oh, but if we just simply come to him and say, "Hey Jesus, good morning. It's good to talk to you this morning. By the way, where are you going today? By the way, what you going to do today? By the way, what would you like me to do today?" Do you have any idea what that does? Let me tell you something. When that kid comes and he says, "Daddy, I want to go with you. I want to, oh, you're going to the store. You're going to the park. You're going to the church. Doesn't matter where it is. I want to be where you are. I want to go where you are." Oh, do you have any idea how that just, what that does to the heart of our Savior and Lord when we say, "Where dwellest thou? Lord, I just want to be where you are. I want to go where you are." They said, "Where dwellest thou?" We want to be where you be. We want to stay where you stay. We want to abide where you abide. You got to understand, think about this. These men had just spent the last couple of years following John the Baptist. That's who they were following before Jesus Christ. And the whole time, John had been telling them about Jesus. Oh, that's what he did. He came to prepare the way. The whole time, he's been telling them about how great the coming Messiah was and would be, how great he is. He said, "Let me tell you something, boys. There's one, y'all think I'm great and you think I'm somebody. There's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. I'm not even worthy to get down there and mess with his shoe strings. There's somebody. Listen, guys, you need to understand. There's one. Oh, John was laying it on thick, and he, let me tell you, he still couldn't even hit the mark as good as Jesus is. But he was telling them how great the Lord Jesus is. And now finally, here it's been a couple years. Finally, here comes Jesus passing right in front of them. And John points it out. Hey, boys, behold, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All of a sudden, there he is, the one that heard about, oh, the one he talked about. This is the one that they had heard so many wonderful things about. There he is, the one they had longed to meet. You ever heard somebody tell you about, they really, I mean, built somebody up, you thought this has to be somebody that's just miraculous. Because they tell you more and more about them. And the more they tell you about them, you're thinking, this can't be no human, the things they're telling me. I mean, they're building this person up. No way this person's that good. Oh, it was even better than that for the Lord Jesus. By the way, everything he said was true. He's building him up. Finally, here he is. He's passing by their way. How many times growing up or before you got saved, do you hear some preacher talk about how wonderful Jesus is? How many times, listen, maybe you sit and listen to your parents or someone else talking in the bedroom about some great things he had done, or talk in the living room while you was in bed, whatever it was, though you had no personal knowledge of him, you had no personal experience with him, you never met him. How many times have you heard some saint of God talk about his goodness, talk about his wonderful greatness? Do you remember hearing him talk about that friend that sticks closer than a brother? Do you remember hearing him talk about his power and how he's gloriously saved somebody who was a drunkard, who was sorry, who would never amount to anything? Oh, but God in his sovereignty reached down. He delivered them from that alcohol. He delivered them from that immoral lifestyle. He delivered them from that drug. And God in his power had delivered them. And you heard all the testimony of how the Lord did great things in their life. What about the person you heard time and time again talk about God's provision and how so many times there was no money and there was no food, but there's bags of groceries on the front porch and all those things you heard, maybe just as being a young Christian or even before you got saved? How many times did you hear other Christians talk about his peace and that peace that passes understanding? Or to sit by the bedside and watch a saint of God pass into glory with a smile on their face, with a peace that passes understanding? How many times had you heard them talk about the love and the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, and you hear them say, how great thou art, how then sings my soul. Amen. Hey, your appetite was wet to meet this great Messiah. And deep down inside your heart, you yearn to know this kind of friend. You yearn to see that kind of power. You yearn to feel that kind of peace. You yearn to experience those provisions. And finally, one day as you're sitting in that church service, or one day as you're at that vacation Bible school, or one day maybe at your house reading your Bible, whatever it was, Jesus passed by your way. And after all you'd heard about him, listen, when you finally met him, you wanted more than a conversation. You wanted more than just to pass by. Oh, but you wondered, where dwellest thou? I want to be where he is. That's why I don't understand how people can come to church and get saved and never want to come back. I don't understand that. How can you come to Jesus for salvation, leave with salvation, and not want to know more about the one who gave you salvation? They said, where dwellest thou? Boy, this exposed the motive of their intention. They weren't just seeking a one-time conversation, but they were seeking his company. Can I say to you, there's a difference in trusting on Christ and walking with Christ. There's a difference in having that conversation and then having him as your company. They didn't just want Jesus to be a part of their life, but they were interested on becoming part of his life. They didn't just want Jesus to be interested in them. They were interested in him. Do you realize how pompous we are and how self-absorbed we are? We want Jesus to be all about us, and we want Him to lower His holiness. We want Him to let down His guard. We want Him to just walk and step over our sin and our ungodliness to bless us and then follow us in whatever road we feel like we want to go down. Oh, no, friend, listen. They wanted to get in. They weren't asking God to get in on what they were doing. They didn't have anything to say about that, but they were certainly wanting to get in on what God was doing. They said, "Where dwellest thou?" God helped somebody to make up their mind. I'm going to find me a prayer closet. I'm going to find me a secret place. I'm going to start walking daily with Him instead of trying to get Him to walk daily with me, because I'm interested in dwelling where He dwells. I'm not only interested in what He can do for me, but I'm interested in who He is to me. So many today just want Jesus by way of visitation. When they need somebody in their life, they want Him to visit and come by. But would to God we wouldn't just seek visitation from Him. God help us to seek habitation. We'd come in and live and dwell where He is. He exposed their interest. Not only got them to examine their intentions, but He exposed their interest. You know, you can tell a whole lot about a person by the question they ask. They said, as soon as they met Him, "Where are you staying? Where are you going? Where do you live? I wonder when the last time you came to church and asked God, 'Where dwellest thou?' When's the last time you got up out of bed? Lord, where are you going today? Lord, what are you doing today? Lord, what are you interested in today?" You know what we do? "Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other, and I pray you'd go with me and bless me." Oh, no! Where dwellest thou? He exposed their interest. Won't you notice the third thing? I'm fixing to land on you. Look here. He extends an invitation. Verse number 39. He saith unto them, "Come and see." "Where dwellest thou?" "Come and see." "Come and see." Notice this. Jesus doesn't give them a street address. Jesus does not give them a town. Jesus does not give them a particular location. He simply says, "Come and see. Come and see." The invitation to come to Christ, the invitation to follow Christ, it isn't given to us with an itinerant list. In other words, He does not give us all the details about where following Him might take us or might lead us. You know what He simply says? "Come and see. Come and find out." Can I say something to you? The moment I stepped out, there have been several different steps, but stepped out into full-time ministry and those things, I didn't have any idea where He was going to take me. I had no idea what it entailed. I just knew that I came to God and I said, "Oh Lord," out of that front row, I knelt down and I told God, I said, "Listen, I give you my all. I give you my heart, and you take me and I follow you wherever you want me to go." He simply said, "Come and see." He doesn't tell us exactly where we're going. Oh, but I can tell you this. Wherever it is a whole lot better than where you'll ever go by yourself. Listen to me tonight. Wherever He leads you is a whole lot better than you'll ever end up on your own. He simply offers us an invitation to come and see. Other words, you do have to take a chance on Him. Can I say something to you tonight? If there was no heaven and there was no hell, if God never did anything else for you or for me than He's already done, if this is all He's ever going to do, there's still no better life than this life. There's still no better way to live than this way to live. There's still no other thing I'd rather do than to sing those old hymns and sing those old songs of Zion and hear that old-fashioned preaching and fellowship with God's people. If this is all there was, live a godly life and please the Lord with my life. Can I say to you, it's better than anything this world has to offer. And if you're skeptical, and if you think we're just making it up, won't you come and see? come and see. I've never heard anybody say, I regret accepting his invitation. I've never heard anybody say, well, I wish I would have waited to get saved. But I've heard a lot of people, and I've sit and listened and watched a lot of people weep because they wasted most of their life. Can I tell you this? There's a whole world of people out there that's searching for something in this world. And they sacrifice everything they are. They sacrifice everything they have to get it. When they finally get it, they don't want what they got. They begin searching for something else. And that doesn't work. They begin searching for something else. Why don't you try Jesus? Listen to me. I didn't say try coming to church. I didn't say try turning over a new leaf. I didn't say try to read a couple verses of Scripture a day. I said, won't you get up tomorrow and say, where dwellest thou? Why don't you try Jesus for real? Well, preacher, I've tried coming to church, or I've tried this, and I've tried... No, won't you try Jesus? I'm not talking about religion. All that other thing's religiosity. I'm talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a real person, by the way, and He loves you. And if you're saved by the grace of God, there's nothing else He desires more than to have an intimate, close relationship with you. Oh, how He desires. He stood up there on that mountain over Jerusalem, and He cried out because they just simply wouldn't accept Him. He says, oh, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. He wants you and I to draw to Him, follow Him, come after Him. I talk to people sometimes who've tried booze, and they've tried drugs, and they've tried immorality, and they've tried, listen to me, all this mess that's going on with the transgender and the trans, all this bunch of stuff. You want me to tell you what it is? It's just searching for something else. They've done tried the booze. They've done tried the drugs. They've done tried the immoral lifestyle or the heterosexual way. Now they got to try something else because none of it ever satisfies. Oh, listen, but she sung about it this morning. If he'll ever drink of that fountain of living water, it'll never run dry. Try the drink that this world offers. Won't you try Jesus? What are you searching for? Can I tell you tonight, if it's some financial fix, if it's a physical fix, if it's a family fix, whatever it is that you're looking for, you'll find it all in Him. He says tonight, come and see. If you've never tried Him tonight, why don't you try Him? You've never come to Him for salvation, why don't you come to Him now? You never asked Him to forgive your sin and trust Him as Lord and Savior. Why don't you ask Him now? You say, preacher, you mean to tell me I can walk into this building lost and I can walk out saved by the grace of God? John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In the Old Testament, you know, they do bring that lamb as an offering, for a sin offering. They would shed its blood, and they, of course, wouldn't forgive their sin. It would cover their sin and purge their sin, put it off until the Day of Atonement again, until the final day, one day when the Lamb of God would shed His blood for the sins of the world. And John said, here He is, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What was he saying? This is the Lamb that can cleanse your sin. Come to His cleansing. What about it, Christian? What are you looking for tonight? The disciples said, where dwellest thou? If you've already sought His cleansing, why don't you seek His company? You've got His cleansing, don't you want His company? You see, everything that you'll ever need in the Christian life is all wrapped up in Him. Oh, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. He is our all in all. And too often times we go around looking for the blessing instead of the blesser. When if we would seek the blesser, we would find the blessing. Too many times we desire the gift instead of the giver. We seek the provisions instead of the provider. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves honestly, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, what seek ye? Are you seeking him for his benefits? The Apostle Paul, as an old man with dimmed eyes and weakened body, described his life's ambition as being this. Watch this, one of my favorite verses. He described his life's ambition as being this. He said, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, that I may know him. Paul's agenda, Paul's ambition and motivation in life wasn't that he would know me. Wasn't that he would follow me. Wasn't that he would learn my interests and my hobbies and get familiar with what I, thank God I'm glad he does that. Oh, he knows the hairs on your head are numbered. But Paul said that I may know him. Let me tell you, you get to know him. You got to ask him, where dwellest thou? What direction are you going? Lord, what do you want to do today? Lord, what do you want me to follow you with my life? What are you searching for? He asked this question to these disciples. Paul said, my life simply that I may know him. What's yours? What are you searching for? While we stand tonight, maybe somebody's here. You're not a bad person. You're not some evil, wicked person. You're saved by the grace of God. But you'll be honest. It's been a while since you've asked God, well, what do you want? It's been a while since you were honest and said, Lord, I want what you want for my life more than I want what I want for my life. Ask tonight. Now, listen, you don't have to tell me. It's between you and the Lord. Ask yourself, what seek you? What am I searching for? Why do I come to church? Why am I serving the Lord? What's it all for? Some people come to church for business. They have more business from church than anywhere. Some people come for profit. Some people come for many other things. What are you looking for? Maybe you begin coming for the right reason. Now you come out of duty. I'm simply saying, what seek you? While we sing, why don't you come?